real people, real opinions, real talk radio. The multi-award-winning Niall Boylan Show. Classic hits.
How would you feel about the lockdown being extended? The Chief Medical Officer, Tony Houlihan, has said that it is too early to say if Ireland's restrictions on movement will end on Easter Sunday. Tony Houlihan was speaking as it was announced a further 13 people had sadly passed away from COVID-19 in Ireland. The total deaths in Ireland now stands at 98, with last night's announcement of 402 additional cases, bringing the country's total now to 3,849 cases. By the way, there's a positive story in that. And I know my condolences to all those people who've lost somebody. But there is a positive story in it. And I'll tell you the positive story. You might be saying, are you mad now? No, the positive story is nearly 4,000 positive cases tested, and they're ones tested. That doesn't include the amount of people who haven't been tested. Realistically, if we estimate it, there's probably tens of thousands of people who've had or had or have COVID-19 in this country. And to think that 98 people have died, that shows a really low mortality rate. So that's good news. That's a good news story. That shows us that the majority, the vast majority of people who get COVID-19, and many of us will get it, the vast majority will have very mild symptoms or may have no symptoms at all, or even if they do have worsening symptoms and end up something similar to the flu and kind of bedridden for a week, you're not going to end up in ICU, you're not going to end up in hospital, and you're not going to die from it. So the vast majority of us won't die from this. I mean, that's a real, if you look at even those figures, based on the ones that were tested, not the ones that we don't know about, nearly 4,000 people and 98 people died. That's a really low mortality rate. Nothing like Spain or Italy at the moment, and hopefully that doesn't get any worse. Now, of course, more people sadly will die and more cases will be found. But Dr. Houlihan echoed sentiments voiced earlier by Taoiseach Simon Coveney that the ban on non-essential travel, the restrictions on gatherings and the closure of non-essential businesses could remain in place until the end of this month. And Coveney said it's difficult for us to say with certainty, but we won't be surprised if we find ourselves getting closer to April the 12th that we actually have to ask the public to work with us again and ensure that we continue to see the benefit of the measures that we have put in place. He went on to say we'll know fully towards the end of next week what position we're actually in. We'll be able to make a better assessment of where we stand. Do we need further improvement, or have we in fact turned a corner? Now, I want to know how you would feel about that. Now, he said that lifting restrictions would be done only if a robust tracing and response capacity was available. And Dr. Houlihan said Ireland is not yet on course to avoid the nightmare scenario of healthcare capacity being overwhelmed. So it's looking likely. That's all I'll say. I'm not going to say it's a defo, but it is looking likely that we'll have to go through. I mean, it'll be 2 weeks since the serious restrictions came in, the very strict restrictions that Leo brought in last week. It'll be 2 weeks next Friday. And if we have to extend that by another 2 weeks, how would you feel about it? Would that be okay? Could you deal with it? Would you be all right with it, not leaving the house again for another 2 weeks? Let me know how you would deal with that. And maybe you're a business owner. How are you currently dealing with it? Are you managing to keep your business afloat? I know it's not open, but are you managing to keep your staff on the books? Do a little bit of work in the meantime in the background? Maybe you own a shop or an electronic shop or something that's not a necessary service. Are you managing to keep afloat? Let me know. Do you think another 2 weeks will kill it all together on you? James, you're on Classic Hits. How are you doing, James?
Good afternoon to you now.
Good.
I hope you're keeping well.
I see your fellow citizen was on there a few minutes ago.
Yes, I was listening to him, yes. Michal.
Do you like him?
He's all right now. He's okay. I mean,
yeah, not the worst in the world. Sure, he's not.
Oh, no, he's a...
He's a decent skin.
People who've met him said he's a very affable man. Very pleasant kind of man.
Yeah.
And I suppose he'd be all right.
But he's a politician at the end of the day, too. You know what I mean?
Sorry?
He's a politician at the end of the day.
And, of course, he's a cockman, so I'm naturally a bit biased now.
Yeah, well, James, how would you feel about, you know, I mean, obviously you're in the over 70 category, so you're in the strictest regime at the moment of lockdown.
Yes, unfortunately, yes.
Yeah. How would you feel about another 2 weeks of it?
Well, the thing is now, I suppose it's easier for me at my age now. I wouldn't be going around that much anyway, you know, compared to what I used to be doing when I was younger.
Yeah.
So, as I said to Ashley, I'm a little...
Well, what were you doing? What were you doing when you were younger? What were you doing when you were younger, James?
Well, I'd be getting around more now.
Ah, right. Sorry, I thought you were up to no good. Sorry.
Well, probably wasn't. I don't know. But so it's easier for me. So I can understand. I know many people, even I know even people my age who are very outgoing now. They hate being at home like this. But You see, I suppose people should look at the house now Niall, as more of a refuge than a prison, because it is definitely a refuge for the elderly now.
Yeah.
Because you're out, you are, if you're out in supermarket or anyone else.
But here's the thing, even if they lifted the restrictions on the 12th of April, which was what we were asked to do, right? So if they turned around on the 12th of April and they said, yous are grand now, off yous pop, off yous go, but, you know, take it easy, right? And maybe they left the cinemas closed and the big gigs and the football matches closed just for the time being, right? But they opened businesses again and opened doors and restaurants and a couple of things like that. I think as a 70-year-old, I would feel a little bit unsure about going back out again. Just, and I don't want to frighten 70. I don't want to frighten people over the other 70.
I'd say, looking at it now, like what I've been hearing, they won't now. They're not going to lift those restrictions.
Most likely not.
On Easter Sunday.
Well, certainly not all of them. And the suggestion is that going forward, if we see a little bit of a light in the tunnel, it will be a relaxing of the restrictions.
Yes, so a gradual going back to normal, yes.
Yeah.
I'd say, Niall, you won't see anything now till maybe towards the end of the month, I'd say. Maybe the next review, like. To say that this review now will be Easter Sunday. The next review then will probably be around, 26th of April, if it's a fortnight again. I'd say that even then you might see some sort of easing coming in, we'll say, to the start of May. I'm only predicting, because there's no doubt about it, as you said earlier on there now, and you're always, in fairness, trying to keep people upbeat. The news is kind of good.
It is positive
and
news.
Even Dr. Holden was saying last night on that term they're using, the curve is flattening now.
Yeah, but and I mean, then, I, not, well, not just the curve.
Flatten it more.
Yeah, not just the curve. And in fairness, you know, if we look over the last week of figures, you know, there was one day when we had over 20 deaths. Well, we haven't had a day with over 20 deaths since, which is great news. And by the way, I'm saying this with a heavy heart all the time, that I'm conscious of the fact that people will be listening who have a loved one who did die in that 98 people, right?
Yes.
So, I mean, my condolences to all those. But in saying that, when you see that, you know, we've 3,849 positive tests. Now, that's a nonsense figure. And I don't mean that to be disrespectful to Tony Hulan, but realistically, there's probably 10,000 people out there with it. You know what I mean? We're not testing everybody, okay? And many people, particularly younger people, you know, wouldn't even notice they had the symptoms.
Yes.
So to think that 98 people died, and if we're conservative and we'll even say 5,000 people have it, that's really conservative. I'd say it's probably closer to multiples of 20,000. But however, we even say 5,000. It's a really low mortality rate.
Oh,
so,
yes.
So it's, you know, from our point of view here in Ireland, our experience is good so far, and I hope that doesn't get worse.
Compared to the horrors of Spain and Italy now.
Absolutely. I mean, that is a horror. Mind you, I know Italy have always had an issue. If you go back to 2013, I think it is, between 2013 and 2017, 30,000 people died of respiratory problems in Italy. Anyway, so there's an issue there with the lifestyle and the way grandparents live.
Yes.
With children and live with, you know, with grandchildren. So there's always been an issue there.
Here now, in the next couple of days now, which is more good news, UCC, which are doing a lot of research, the university, they are now going to move into the hospitals here in Cork, the Mercy Hospital, the Cork University Hospital, with combinations of medicines to test on patients there who have the COVID-19.
Mm-hmm. Well, I think a game changer, and I'm sorry, I'm going to have to break in a second, but the game changer is going to be these new tests, if indeed they prove to be successful. They're still testing them, but they will be available, they're saying, either late next week or the week after, and they'll be available on Amazon and Boots. And these will be home test kits. You just buy it, you stick a little pinprick, like diabetes, you stick it in your finger, put the little drop of blood on the gadget, and it'll tell you whether you've had it or whether you have it.
But then the medicines they're testing now in the hospitals will be you know, the medicines are available already. They're just going to try a combination of medicines on the patients to see can they at least ease the symptoms.
And I think that's going to make a big difference. I think all these things will make a difference. Stay there with me, James. I've got to take a break. I want to come to Seamus straight after the break. The question I'm asking you is, are you comfortable with the fact that we may have to do another 2 weeks and possibly more of this lockdown period? Is that okay with you? Will you be bored out of your head? Will you lose your mind? I mean, how are you coping with it at the moment? And will you be okay with another 2 weeks? Now, one day shortly, we will be talking about how serious domestic abuse is taking place now in households where it is more evident as families are locked up together, and also very serious mental health illness that have gotten worse, and also recovering alcoholics back on the drink, as isolation is the worst thing possible for these issues. And the helplines are ringing off the walls. Plus social and civil unrest, we are weeks ahead of you in lockdown in Spain. And experiencing this in Ireland will experience Ireland will experience this within 2 weeks from now. But governments don't want anybody talking about it. Well, that's a bit unfair because we have been talking about domestic abuse and we have been, and governments have been talking about it, and Women's Aid have been talking about it, and other organisations have been talking about it. I'm sure men's organisations hopefully have been talking about it too. So it's a bit unfair to say they're not talking about it. Just want you to say, lockdown is great and like a holiday. Social unrest is happening now and coming to Ireland next. You have to think how many are in serious poverty. Okay, well, again, I'm assuming this person is texting. I'm not going to read the whole thing. Or texting from Spain. Oh, from Malaga. Oh, the Peter. I'll talk to him later on then, okay? Peter, it's very different here. In Spain, I don't know how the government are paying people. And I know in Italy, people are starving and have no money during lockdown because the Italian government are not looking after people as well as our government are. So I think it's a different situation. But I'll talk to you a bit later, hopefully, Peter, about that. Let me go to Seamus. Seamus, you're on Classic Hits. How you doing, Seamus?
How you doing, Al?
Seamus, I mean, the idea, firstly, I mean, you were talking about a Fine Gael are doing a reasonably good job, do you think?
They are, insofar as informing people like about what's happening. They are, as you mentioned earlier on, they're all politicians, including Micheál Martin, who was just on beforehand. But the only thing I'd be wary of, and I probably sound like I'm paranoid, like, but who couldn't be when you look at the state of the last 10 years as well, under the current government? They are doing a good job in terms of informing people, okay? And as long as the numbers are going down, that's well and good in terms of a lockdown. My only fear is that they'll use this as a tool of some form to keep themselves in power. So, you know, effectively screwing the country over, keeping some sort of, COVID-19 hold on the situation.
In other words, if you get rid of us, you're all going to have to pay loads of taxes to pay this money back.
Oh, yeah, the usual crap, basically. Like, I mean... You know, I'm just wary of this, you know, like you do listen to the rhetoric, you listen to what they say and this and so on and so forth, like the body language, you know, it's also, I know it is a serious situation, but you know, if the numbers start to drop and we get to a point where other countries start to get back to normal, even within Europe, no, Italy is having an absolutely horrendous time. And
so is Spain, yeah.
It's awful, and Spain as well included, like. But if things at some point, which they will do, go back to normal and we see some sort of movement back to, you know, business starts moving and operating as normal, and yet the country, you know, the government has some sort of hold on the system here, whatever means they do it, I'd just be wary of their intentions. You know, will they use it to keep themselves in power? That's my worry.
James, do you have that worry too? Do you believe that, I suppose, the government will use this as some sort of tool, as Seamus says, to keep themselves in power? I.e., you know, if you vote somebody else in or let somebody enter the government, they're going to tax you to the hilt to pay back this 30 billion probably debt.
Yes, it's a point. It's a good point that gentleman is making now. But the only thing is, I'd say that things will be a bit tougher right now when we do get back to normal. Because, you know, there's a lot to be sorted out, as you know, and will people be able to keep on the people they have until the business picks up? So I wouldn't be that worried about that now. What I would say, though, and I think you said Peter was mentioning there about unrest and that, I was looking at a piece
in
the news.
Italy is particularly bad, yes. Yeah.
And there will be a problem there now for the people. Already they're running around looking for food, and as you know, in places like the Central African Republic, terrible poverty there now. There's poverty all the time now. But if any kind of a squeeze like this on them, they're going to be seriously in trouble now.
And we, you know what? In all of this, we have to say, and we have to be thankful that we do live in a country that is reasonably wealthy.
Oh, yeah. And
you know, I mean, you look at other countries in the world that have no provision for people. They're closing down their businesses and not giving them a penny.
Oh, yes. And there was one woman saying there last night, whatever business she has, you know the way they're trying to... they might be in a market selling stuff. She said, if I haven't got that, I have nothing.
Yep.
I have nothing. If they close me down, I have nothing. There's no social welfare in these countries now. There's no backup. There's no one giving them anything like we have here.
Yep.
So we really should count our blessings now that we have these resources. And I was even thinking to myself yesterday, even though I detest the European Union now, I'm kind of glad now that we're really part of it, I suppose.
Well,
really.
At this moment in time, it is useful, I would imagine. Yes,
we wouldn't want to be out in the cold now, Niall.
Yeah, I think everybody would agree with that. Okay, well, stay there for a second. Let me go back to the original question. By the way, Seamus, do you think the population will handle another 2 weeks? Because that looks likely, doesn't it?
Simon called me only about 2 weeks back before, and I think... he was on another radio station, I shouldn't say. He was basically speaking about this. Yeah, we were only into the first couple of days of the pre-lockdown, I suppose. when we were...
The first initial restrictions.
The initial two or three days, I think it was, and, you know, everything was pretty much very quiet. Anyway, he was on talking about this, and there was issues about getting, you know, the Irish abroad home, so on and so forth. But he did mention in his own opinion that he reckoned this will go on for 16 weeks to 24 weeks. Mm-hmm. It's 4 months to 6 months. So 2020 is effectively a write-off.
Oh, it is.
I mean, 6 months takes us down to the end of December. You know, we're already heading into the Christmas period.
I think there's people out there listening today who believe, God, I can't wait till the summer and, you know, and running around and going on holidays. I just don't think that's going to be happening. No.
2020 is a write-off now. I think people may get their head around it, like these trips to Spain, the Canaries, the Mediterranean in general, Italy. It's a non-runner. It's terrible, really. Like, Italy's going to suffer beyond belief. Italy could turn into Greece, the Greece of, 8 or 9 years ago?
Yeah, I do remember that.
I mean, they were doing soup runs on the streets. I mean, this is a country that began the way we live in Europe.
And when you think about it, by the way, they had the best healthcare system in Europe.
Yeah. And Spain's healthcare system is pretty top-notch as well, in all fairness to it. Like,
But of course, these kind of things put massive pressure on the healthcare system. Loads and loads of people are texting in. Now, I don't know if I could suffer another few years of Fine Gael and Fianna Fáil. I think I'd like a bit of a change. I think that's what we voted for. Well, we kind of did. I mean, you have to remember, of course, they were all more or less had the same amount of seats. So not everybody voted for change. Actually, to be honest with you, the majority of people didn't vote for change. 25% of the population voted for change. So the majority didn't vote for change. So to suggest they did is kind of inaccurate factually. Okay, keep texting, keep WhatsApping. The number is 087-188-0008. Although I do have a little bit of faith in some of the policies that have been recommended by Sinn Féin over the last couple of weeks. We go to Malachy. Malachy, you're on Classic Kids. How you doing, Malachy?
Good afternoon, Niall.
Now, Malachy, as a solicitor, by the way, just how's the legal profession at the moment? Is it in turmoil? Are there judges actually hearing cases, or what's going on?
Well, there are emergency cases are being held, particularly, say, in, for instance, domestic violence applications. And there's no doubt that there are people taking advantage of that legislation to pursue applications that normally wouldn't have saw the light of day. But that's something we'll have to resolve in time. But just on a matter, on your first question there, how people would feel about a lockdown, people would have no choice. We've moved into an era of totalitarian government where you're just told what to do.
But isn't it in everybody's best interest?
Well, only time will tell in that
well, that's it. I mean, I wouldn't like to be the government to take a risk not to do it.
Well, Dan, you see, if that was the true position of the government, then there would be no flights coming into this country, for instance.
I did put that to Micheál Martin, and there are very few flights coming in. And in fairness, most of the people that are coming to Ireland are repatriation.
Well, yes, but most of them are coming from countries where they've lost their jobs and they're coming back here. Most of them are not coming back to work in the health service, despite what we're told. They're people who've lost their jobs and have no income wherever they are.
They're coming from Italy or Spain or wherever it is.
This is endemic. But, you know, we had, that's just progress.
But there is, by the way, a stipulation that anybody who comes back into Ireland or is repatriated has to spend 14 days in isolation. Now, I know nobody's following that up.
You know, you go home and you sign a form. You don't even have to sign a form.
You're not going anywhere, man.
Well, I don't know.
But if I was coming back, if I was in Spain and lost my job and I was coming back to Ireland and I got off at Dublin Airport, where am I going to go?
Well,
sure, everywhere's closed.
Well, you see, firstly, you may well say that you, as a responsible person, would do that. But we know there are many irresponsible people out there who wouldn't do that. But let's watch Harris on that programme, that spin programme, RTE ran after the news last night. And all he was short, what he should have actually said was the truth, was that if you get the virus, if you get the symptoms, go home. Lock yourself in your house because you're not going to go to your doctor. We're not going to let you. You're not going to go to the hospital because we won't let you. And if you survive, fair play. And if you don't,
that's
show
not
you,
what he's saying.
Well, that's
and,
what
and Tony Houlihan was quite. Well, Tony Houlihan was quite clear this morning when he said.
But
I'm just saying that the government have been quite clear that if you feel that you have you're asymptomatic or that you are in any kind of danger or that you feel that you should be in hospital, you by all means contact your doctor to refer you to a hospital, just like you would normally. And by the way, that goes for what they're very concerned about at the moment is the amount of people who are not in A&E. A&E is empty at the moment. GP's offices are very slow at the moment, and the reason is people are almost afraid to go to them, even with other symptoms or other problems.
They're being told not to go, and that's the input. That the implication that's being given.
Well, you shouldn't be going if you think you've COVID-19.
Like, you know, we talk
about. But if you have a tummy bug, you should be going to your doctor.
6 months ago, the people decided that Harris should go, right? He was the most inept Minister for Health that we've had, following on from his party leader, Varadkar, who was also Minister for Health, and the other potential Taoiseach, Micheál Martin, who was also Minister for Health. Tony Holohan was the man who said we didn't need an inquiry into the cervical smear issue. You know, so these people have now rebuilt their credibility on the back of this.
So do you think people are getting the population of national amnesia
I'll
now?
I'll tell you what's going to happen, Niall. Because, you see, we have Harris...
So will you? Are you not going to give them any credit, Maliki, for what they're doing at the moment?
I think we can only decide that. I think there's a huge amount of political opportunism in this, and they're using it to bring themselves back into government and rehabilitate themselves. There's no doubt about that. We had, for instance, Pascal Donoghue come out 3 weeks ago at this stage, all gung-ho, I've done a deal with the banks, 3 months moratorium.
Yeah, two weeks, actually. It does seem like three, but it was 2 weeks ago, yeah.
And that's not the case.
No, it's not the case, right? No.
You have to go begging to the banks. We saw, for instance,
but they have relaxed the.
No, hold on, no.
You could always get a 3 month moratorium. There was never a deal. Okay. There was no problem. But they have relaxed the rules in getting that moratorium.
But the decision is still up to them.
Yes.
Right now,
and you still have to pay interest on it, and you still have to recapitalise at the
and
end.
What
of
should happen? What the government should come out and say? This applies to all loans across the board, right? Because what is happening now is that businesses, small businesses, are paying their loan repayments out of their reserves, effectively out of the money that they borrowed.
Well, do me a favour, stay there for a second, because I want to go to Anne.
Who, now before you just move on there.
I'm not moving on. At the same point, Anne has a small business, and just I want to go to that point. So, Anne, you have a small business. You've been closed for the last 2 weeks.
Hello.
Yeah.
Yes, I have a family business. We've been in business for 75 years this November. We closed our door last Tuesday week because we knew it was the right thing to do. Now, we were told to close a few days later. That's it. We've no more income.
Yep.
No more coming in.
Have you got many employees, by the way? How many employees?
We have one.
Okay, only one.
And
okay,
we had let her go.
Okay.
And myself and my sister are in the business. We're both now without an income. That is fine. But at the bottom line is, we knew we have to do it. I don't like when it's all becoming political, because whatever government, whatever party you follow, the government that are in have a job to do, and I think they're doing a pretty good job. If you look at every other country, in Holland, Poland, Spain, Italy, people are dying every minute.
Poland actually is handling it quite well, in fairness to Poland.
I heard from someone else that do. But, you know, I mean, we've got to look at the broader picture. We don't want people dying.
No.
I mean, our business, right, it's going to take a hit. And please God, we will get over it.
Mm-hmm.
But at the moment, we know it's the right thing to do. We have to stay closed. If we have to do another 2 weeks of it,
so
I say fine.
Okay, will you be able to, if we have to do another 4 weeks on top of what the 2 weeks were already done, let's just say worst case scenario,
yes,
or it could even be worse than that,
yes,
will you be reopening your business again?
Of course, I will.
Okay, all right, but then again,
I have bills to pay.
Of course, okay. So, but you have a small business with one employee, so it won't be as difficult. Yes,
but it won't be as difficult. But I still have bills to pay.
Yeah.
Still have an overdraft to pay in the bank. We still have to pay our way, and we want to continue in business. And
what do you? What's your business, by the way? Do you want to give us a plug?
Christmas the General Drapery here in Yall in County Cork.
All right, okay.
We're 75 Neville's Drapery in Yall, County Cork.
Right.
We're 75 years in business. We sell men's, children's, babies, household. And we have a family business. We have great customers, and I know they'll all come back to us.
Well, hang on, just on a final note before we get to the break, because Maliki, do you think the majority of businesses, 500,000 people actually unemployed suddenly in the last two weeks, do you think the majority of businesses will reopen again, or do you think there's a large percentage won't be able to capitalise to reopen?
I think the reality is that this is going to go on for the rest of the year.
Yes.
And that an awful lot of businesses will have no capital there, and you'll find that the banks will say, on your bike, you owe us money. Right. Now, just listening to
30 seconds, go for it.
Yeah, what we're doing is we're writing off old people in this. And Joan was right yesterday. Very seldom I agree with Joan, but I agree with her yesterday. And I think one of the sickening things about this is that all people who are dying aren't even being given the opportunity of a Christian funeral, because the government has said no, and the churches, all of the churches,
they are getting a Christian funeral. No more than 10 people can go because of common sense around the strategy we're using at the moment. Just very quick, and you want to say something? Go ahead.
I'm listening to that man there, and does he get the reality of this situation at all? People are dying. We have to stay indoors. Our business is going to suffer big time this year, and we're hoping we'll get over it. We don't know.
Somebody says, Malachy, the government are for the good of the people unless they are better actors than Liam Neeson and Cillian Murphy. I could say your work is suffering, and that's why you're mouthing on and giving out about it. Well, you can respond to that, Malachy, if you want to.
Well, firstly, only time will tell. And I mean, this government didn't turn from being, and the HSE didn't turn from being the most inept government and health system for years into being one of the best in the world overnight. Now, there's a
nobody. No, well, hang on. Nobody said they're the best in the world, but you are in uncharted territory where there's a strategy in place. We'll find out very soon whether that strategy works or not. And the evidence seems to suggest around the world that that strategy may work.
Well, hold on. Leo Varadkar this morning only said, or last night, that the Leave Insert would definitely happen in June. The dogs in the street will tell you that that's not going to happen, right?
Well, it might happen. It might happen in some form.
Well, what are we going to do? Have the kids doing it in their own house?
No, they suggested they might have to use the primary schools.
Well, it's not going to happen.
And put maybe four kids or five kids in each class at a social distance.
And in the current environment, Niall, putting off the Leave Insert till whenever won't make a bit of difference. This is, again, locked into the idea that everybody does the leaving and goes to college, and that has to happen in October, right? Now, if we listen to what Harris told us last week, right, that we were going to have, I can't even remember the numbers, something like 20,000 or 50,000 tests every day, then it went down to, now it's down to, oh, we're going to have 5,000, and now we're actually having 1,500 because we don't have the test kits. Yet he tells us we're preparing for this from January. We don't have the PPE. There was a question asked in Leinster House yesterday about a nursing home that had 70 staff members out of 200 who were tested positive, 19 out of 200 residents tested positive, and is this one of the clusters? And when Holohan was asked that question, he refused to answer it. Now, I think people are entitled to know the answer to those questions, because if all of these clusters are in nursing homes, then there's a serious problem, particularly when HICWA only the other day came out and said, oh, well, we better look into this. Surely that's something that they should have looked into in the beginning.
See, Malachy, I know, by the way, Malachy, I'm not dissing everything that you're saying, and I understand everything you're saying, and it is quite concerning when you've got that many cases and that many positive cases and that many coronavirus cases in a nursing home, particularly where you might have elderly people, right? And that is really concerning. But yeah, what I'm saying to you is, every day is a learning curve. Every day there's decisions made. Every day, be it Simon Harris, Leo Varadkar, more so Simon seems to be on the news quite a lot more than Leo, Tony Houlihan. And these people seem quite dedicated to what they're doing at the moment. They're making mistakes. There is no
hold
doubt.
On,
but hang on, Malachy, let me finish.
No, hold on.
No, I'm not blowing their trumpet. They are making mistakes. But, you know, but we're all learning.
Hold on. We know that Italy is 3 or 4 weeks ahead of us. We should be learning by them. We know that, for instance, South Korea, who beat this, took certain actions, and they were X number of weeks ahead of us. We know that other countries were ahead of us, yet we're not doing that. I mean, for instance, they cancelled the rugby match a number of weeks ago, right? Seems like years ago at this stage, right? But they didn't cancel the flights coming in. There are still technically flights coming in from Italy, right, with people on them. That is nonsense. You know, and one of the things that I mentioned just before the break, the news there, was about funerals. In Dublin, priests are refusing to have funerals. And the biggest, you know, and your other listener said, well, you know, 20 or 30 people can go to the church. Churches, being the size that they are, can accommodate big enough families with the social distance in place. And, you know, and people who would be of a Christian mind should go back to the Bible and what Christ done with the lepers. It's the religious here are supposed to have a vocation, not to save themselves, but to save their flock.
Okay, well, there's a whole lot of questions there, and let me just go very, very back quickly to Anne as well. Anne Malachy makes some good points about, for example, the testing. We were told by Leo Varadkar that the reason we have a shortage of tests is because there's a major world shortage of what they call the reagent, which is basically the fluid they mix the test.
But that's only the latest excuse.
And to be fair, the companies that make the reagents, most of them are in the United Kingdom, there are some in this country, have come out to say this is absolute and utter rubbish, there is no shortage, the government haven't been in touch with us, and nobody's ordered them. So there is a bit of misinformation coming out.
There may be a bit of misinformation. As you say, the government are making mistakes, but we are in, as you said, a situation which we've never been in before. The whole world is in this situation, and I think they're doing the best they can. We have, I mean, this negativity about politics and a government when we should be positive and praising the workers out there, those staff, the nurses, the doctors, the cleaners, the carers that are out there doing their best. They are really doing their best to help everyone.
But nobody's doubting they're not doing their best. But no, Maliki is saying they're using this well, hang on, Maliki. Maliki's suggestion is that they're using this particular moment in time, this pandemic, for political gain, and people are forgetting, you know, what a bad job they've done over the last 10 years.
I swear, if you're going to keep going back on the past and what people done, they're in a situation at the moment. I think looking at them, they are doing the best they can. They
okay,
are
well, let's,
trying.
Let's just look at that.
Very quickly, Maliki, I'll
let
somebody else
say. I've compared the nurses and the HCAs in hospitals and the doctors to the young men who were sent out in the First World War, out of the trenches, forced out to be shot and to be killed. Nurses are being told, and HCAs, and remember, most HCAs, huge amount of them come from the Philippines, and a huge amount of them are only on the minimum wage. And they're being told, you're in here, plenty of overtime, you can come in here to work until you get the virus, and then it's basically, you're on your bike.
And what do you say then to all the people who are actually coming back and offering their services because they were nurses?
Okay, and
people, it's like the war, but this is a different kind of war.
Okay,
people go out and fight for their country. People are going out to fight for the lives of all our relatives and friends and neighbours, and that's what it's coming down to.
Hold on,
we have a place, a path to play in this, and we can stay at home and mind ourselves.
What did they say to the nurses who were to come back into the country? They came back in, and then the first they said that they initially that they would pay for their badge, which they need to practice. Then they said they wouldn't, and the nurses' organisations are now saying that's 500.
No. They did waiver the fee. The fee, whatever the fee was, to re-enter into nursing, the fee was wavered.
No, it wasn't, Niall.
According to two nurses we had on the air 2 weeks ago, they told us that it was
because that was the belief at the time. No, hold on, that was the belief at the time, but then they didn't do that, and they have to apply to the organisations to get that.
Okay, but I think the point that Anna's making is, Maliki, and I know you're kind of painting a very doomy, gloomy picture there, is that a lot of people wanted to do it, okay? Forget about the charge there for the moment, whether they did or didn't waiver it. A lot of people wanted to do it. They're now paying, of course, junior nurses, which they weren't before. Now, there has been, obviously, a bit of to and fro in relation to what they're paying them, but they are paying them, and they weren't paying them before. There has been suggestions as well that nurses and doctors should get some sort of bonus as well. I don't know who suggested that recently, but I did hear that recently as well.
Well, I suggested there recently to yourself, and I think you did put it out and you agreed with it, that nurses and anybody working in the healthcare system should be paid their gross salary, full stop.
And I wouldn't disagree with that completely, but listen, I have to move on as well. There's loads of other people want to talk. We want to continue talking about how business will survive if indeed this is extended past another 2 weeks, because Marion, you're on Classic Hits. How are you doing, Marion?
Hi, Niall. How are you?
You're running a guest house.
Yes, Niall, I'm running a guest house in the west of Ireland. It's just a little guest house. We run it over 9 months of the year, and then we take a few months off. It's kind of like my retirement plan, so I'm kind of in a luckier position.
Yeah.
But my question really was, it took me a long time to get somebody who'd actually go on the books to work in these, you know, they're paid minimum wage, you know, living wage at best. And, you know, when I advertised to get somebody years ago, I had loads of interest. But the minute I mentioned going on the books, and for obvious reasons, because I wanted them to be insured, I wanted for the 3 months they weren't working to be able to claim job seekers.
Yeah.
So I'm kind of wondering what happens to all of these people now that they're really undocumented or whatever, and they're mainly foreigners, you know.
Right, okay, people who are getting cash in hand, basically.
Yes.
Right.
And I know people give out, but I remember hearing you one time saying they were the backbone, they were holding up all the time.
Well, the black economy exists in most countries, and it is essential. It's an essential part of the economy too. The black economy, I believe they reckon it could be worth about $3 billion a year to the country, the black economy. That's where people are working for cash. And if you're right, if those people are out of work, they can't claim anything.
Yeah, so that's kind of worrying. They'll be the new poor or the new homeless or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
But really, we're very lucky. I retired. I worked in the public sector, one of the lucky people who could retire early and set up a business. Now, I ploughed a lot of money into the guest house. So at the minute, you know, there is no money coming in, but luckily I'm on a little pension. So I'd be one of the luckier ones, and we will be able to continue to, even if...
How long do you think you can stay closed for before you...
Well, luckily, because I'm not so young now, I can manage to stay closed really on for the next, until maybe next year, you know, and after next year then I'd have to kind of, because we would have bills like for having, you know, we would have loaned out from the bank.
Well, you're in a lucky position, I suppose, Marion, compared to most businesses.
I'm luckier than the smaller businesses, you know. But my point is, I'm okay. Yesterday we were trying to cut out as many bills as we could. Ishka, I have to say, fair play to them, while we scream about water charges, we pay water charges being a business. They were really nice. We wanted to put back as a domestic house until we, you know, until we open up again. And they have said, absolutely, we'll look at it. They did. They were really easy to deal with. But who are a bloody nightmare are the banks. I pay €80 a month for my credit card terminal. You know, that's how I take my payments. And I rang them, and my husband tweeted the bank, and I won't say which bank, but absolutely there is no way. They told us to get on to the ombudsman. There is no way.
Which bank was it? Was it AIB?
Am I allowed to say which bank?
Yes, go ahead.
Yeah, all right. Bank of Flippin' Ireland that I'm with since
I was
17.
So you're paying your merchant fee for your machine. And what is the bill? €80 a month?
It varies depending. At the minute, it's probably at the beginning of the year. But it's 40-something a month, which is quite a lot when there's no money coming in.
Absolutely. And then they obviously get commission on the charges too as well. So that, you know, they won't allow you to defer the merchant fee.
There's no dealing with them. Now, they were very nice. These are people working in the office or whoever. First of all, my husband, I rang them the day before and they said, I'm very sorry, hold on, we'll check with somebody. No, nothing can be done. Very sorry about that. On your bike. And then my husband tweeted and they came back on straight away. So he was over and back all yesterday afternoon.
So I'm wondering if anybody else, by the way, in business, and most people use merchant services. I think everybody in business uses merchant services now. Yeah. So anybody else who was dealing with Bank of Ireland, because obviously that's the one you have a problem with, maybe if they can text us in and let us know how they get on, would they defer that payment for the merchant services? I mean,
absolutely. Yeah.
Well, and they should. I think banks need to start playing ball, because they have to remember, of course, we own them. So, I mean, we bail them out to the tune of €46 billion. So they need to start playing ball with business now, because in fairness, if they don't play ball with business and business goes out of business, they won't be getting any money.
Yes, absolutely. I just found, now, not the people I was talking to, they're only staff working for them, but the banks themselves, I mean, we bailed them out, we're paying for it to this day, so I really think, and that's only one instance, I don't know, there are probably other people who are having other difficulties with them, you know, but...
Well, I know people had difficulties with AIB during the week with the bank charges they were charging, they came out of people's accounts during the week, which was probably...
Yes.
And I know Sinn Féin said that AIB should refund the bank charges, I don't know how far that they've got with that. But listen, it's an interesting point, and I wish you well,
And I just want to say, I'm certainly not a Simon Harris fan, but I have to say, fair play to him. And the negativity that's out there about the government, these are human beings who have families. He's a young dad, but I think he's doing a Trojan job. Even though I wouldn't have voted for him the last, but I'll tell you, fair play to them, and people need to stop moaning, move on, and I think he's doing a great job, and the government, everybody who's involved.
Thank you very much indeed, Marion, and I wish you well, and stay safe. Nigel, you're on Classic Kids. How you doing, Nigel?
How are you, Nigel? How are you?
Good, Nigel. A friend of yours came home from where?
Stockholm.
From Stockholm. When was this?
He was home for 8 days.
When did he go back?
This morning.
Oh, he went back this morning. So the point you're making is flights are coming and going to some places. That's normal.
What's going on? Well, I was talking to him. I met him at the shop the other day, and I was queuing up outside Tesco, the usual 10 feet apart or whatever, and he just got out of his car and I was talking, how are you going, blah, blah, blah. He said, he's home. Going back Friday morning, no problems over there whatsoever. Bar's still open. He was in a bar there just before he went to the airport last Thursday. Had a few pints. Got a taxi to the airport. Had a couple of beers in the airport, on the plane and home.
Right. That seems quite bizarre, doesn't it?
He said he's gone from one...
Was he advised? Well, I mean, I don't know whether you got into that much of a conversation with the man, but was he advised when he came through Dublin Airport that he should isolate while he's here?
To be honest with you, I don't be making up a story there. Just to satisfy you, I don't actually know the ins and outs, but the point of the matter is, he's been in and out of the country. Mm. Inside the recommended isolation period.
Yeah, but the only thing I will say, Nigel, is when he came here, he obviously came home to family, right?
He
couldn't really be going anywhere. So, I mean...
No, he couldn't be going anywhere. No, that's not the point. No, the point is, he's coming from a country that has no sort of...
No restrictions.
Limitations and no restrictions in his movement. to a country that has seemingly full restrictions to his movement, and then can go back to the other, reverse back to the other straight away with no implications. I don't get it, Niall.
It does seem counterproductive when they're telling everybody to lock down.
It's a total contradiction, Niall, is what it is.
Mm-hmm.
It's an absolute total contradiction of what we're supposed to be doing. Surely to God.
Well, I know Micheál Martin mentioned earlier on, 95% of they're down 95% on the flights coming into Dublin Airport at the moment, and a lot of the people that are coming in are people who are repatriating or people who are coming home again, like your friend, but obviously he went back again. And the
he's only home for a week. He's only home for a while. He's doing.
I know.
He works. He's a subcontractor for Intel.
Right.
And he does a lot of his work is away from home. So he has grown up kids. He doesn't have any young kids around. He just come home to
I'm not disagreeing with you. There does seem to be a huge contradiction in the fact. The only thing I will say to you is that because we are in lockdown, essentially, that even if somebody does come here for a week period, they can't go anywhere and they can't do anything. So they're not going to interact with many people anyway. So that's the only saving grace in it.
The only point I'm trying to make is, Niall, if and it's not against him, he's doing what he's allowed to do. It's like everything else.
Yeah.
What I'm saying is, on his travel document, you know, when he's coming into a country that requires you or requests you to do a 14-day self-isolation, his return flight would have had only 8 days on it. Do you know what I'm saying?
He flew
from Stockholm
with a return
8 days later in a country that you're supposed to be in for 14 days on your own.
What? Yep. Okay.
Are we not shooting ourselves in the foot here now?
I would completely agree with you, and I think we dropped the ball when it came to flights coming in from Italy 2.5 weeks ago as well. So I think there are huge mistakes being made.
And just another thing, Niall, and not to get off the point, it's about time people like Malachy, who I listen to all the time, he turns my stomach right, he stops this Sinn Féin party political broadcast.
Malachy's not a fan of Sinn Féin.
He's not.
Malachy, I can tell you straight off now, Malachy has always condemned Sinn Féin. He's not a fan of Sinn Féin at all.
He's against everybody else.
He is Republican, but he's not a fan of Sinn Féin.
But I put it this way, Niall. If he was torn to the pin of his collar, if you said Mary Lou, Martin or Varadkar, who would he pick?
I don't know.
Yeah, you do now, Niall.
Well, I'll get him to text you the answer to that very question. If he was on a desert island and he had no choice and he had to pick one of them, all right.
I know who he's picking.
All right, you never know. Nigel, I'll ask him that very question. I'm sure he said, listen, Malachy, which one would you pick on? Desert island, you've no choice. You have to pick one of them. So which is the worst of the three evils as far as you're concerned? Moira, thanks for that, Nigel. Moira, you're on Classic Kids. How you doing, Moira?
Hi, Niall.
Moira, you would be very upset. If people started ignoring the rules.
Yeah, I think 2 weeks is a long time. Now, I'm actually cocooning because I've underlying health issues.
Okay.
You know, so 2 weeks has been really, really hard.
Okay.
You know.
Are you bored out of your head?
Absolutely.
There's only so much telly you can watch, isn't there, really?
There's nothing on the bloody thing.
No, I know.
You know what I mean? You can flick through, my God, how many channels is there? And go up and down them, and there's still nothing on, you know?
Yeah, I know. So how are you occupying yourself?
Oh, I'm doing twiddly things. I'm doing bits of art around the house and all.
A lot of people have started to do kind of crafting and art.
Yeah, I do that. I do a bit of painting and stuff like that, you know what
Making
I mean?
Cards and things.
Yeah. But like, it's very monotonous.
I know.
And as well as that, we have a mobile home.
Right.
Out in Donabate, which we would normally go to the 1st of April.
Yeah.
And spend 6 months out there.
We used to go on holiday. When I was a kid, we used to go on holidays to Donabate.
Did you? It's a great spot.
Oh, yeah. We used to go to Rush and Donabate and Lusk on holidays to caravan parks.
Yeah. Sure, why not?
Yeah.
Well, I would normally spend 6 months of the year out there.
Yeah.
Right. And I think that would be the safest place for me. But
right.
No, you can't go now.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. I understand, in theory, it would be fine, probably, to be honest with you. But they've closed
totally
the caravan park, so you can't do it anyway.
It's totally safe for me because you're in the middle of the field, no callers. I put a sign on the window and all before the 1st of April to say, social isolation in progress here.
Yeah, social isolation in progress. Well, maybe when they start to ease off on the restrictions, in the coming weeks, hopefully, you know, they'll allow you to do things like that.
No, they have to look at people's mental health as well.
And that has to be a huge factor, absolutely. And I think the government will have to look. I mean, we're seeing problems in Italy and Spain already, whereby people who have been social isolating for the last 4 weeks are now becoming impatient. Yeah. And, you know, and there has been looting and there has been, you know, episodes and some videos online of people, and the police are having a difficult time trying to control people not coming out because people are getting a bit tired of it now. And in fairness to Simon Harris, he did say from the very start when he was asked about lockdowns and they didn't want to introduce it too quickly, there's a time and a place because we can't do it for too long.
Yeah.
You know, because they can't keep you locked up forever, Maura.
Well, it's for being in prison.
I know, but it is for your own benefit because obviously you're a vulnerable person.
I can't even go to the shop.
I know.
You know what I mean?
But I mean, if they turned around on, say, on the 12th of April next week and said, all right, we're lifting all the restrictions, just in theory, like, that's not going to happen, I don't think. But
no,
we're lifting all. But would you feel actually confident going back out? I don't think you would.
I would out to Donabate, yeah.
Out to Donabate.
Because I know I'm safe out there. I know I'm safe out there.
Right. So you'd be just going in the car to there and that'd be it?
Oh, yeah. Car from the door here.
Yeah.
Straight out there.
And what's wrong with you, Maura?
Oh, that's for another show now.
All right, okay.
I put it this way, I'm not mobile. You know,
okay, all right,
I'm
okay.
I'm pretty airbound, so, you know.
I'm sorry to hear that.
I could keep you going there all day now.
There's a list,
my
is there?
My health issues.
There's a list. Are you keeping the HSE in business?
I am indeed.
All right, well, look, I wish you well and stay safe and I hope things work out for you, all right?
Thank you,
Maura. All right, lovely to talk to you.
Real people. Real opinions. Real talk radio. The multi-award-winning Niall Boylan Show. Classic hits.